was in a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing already, but I'm sitting here and all of a sudden I get this droopy microphone syndrome. I'm going to say something, my mic just droops on down the other way.
They got pills for that.
Yeah, a little blue hammer, a little triangle-shaped blue hammer. I don't know why I should know that. Good God. All right, I guess you could tell it's radio fishing time. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair here. There's 20 Oopers in a pontoon boat over there, and Captain Kale in the chair across from me. What a day. Telling lies, fishing, yeah, it's all good.
That's not mine.
Yeah, it's a little, that's not yours.
No.
I don't think anybody else has been in your chair.
That was a long white hair.
Long white hair. Actually, I don't think it's mine yet. I've got a few, but not
too
many. I got a couple long gray ones. You know, I don't know why it is, but, you know, look down and I'm a fur-covered animal. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm rather furry. And
you wear a sweater under your T-shirt.
Yes. And I look down, there's like a 5-inch gray hair sticking out that wasn't there like the day before.
I've got one of those, too. It roams around.
Yeah.
You find it over here on this shoulder. Then a couple months later, it's over here on this arm.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it best when it comes out of the eyebrow. So
I haven't had that problem yet.
Oh, just wait a couple years.
I'm a few years off.
Yeah, just wait a few years. Okay. Anyway, enough old guy stuff. To the fishing. So what's been going on in the wide world of fishing, charters and charter boats and all that other stuff?
A lot of shallow water fishing. With this full moon and this wind, there has been no water out there on that river.
I sent my son, because he's been down a few times, and he knows what the river looks like out in front of the house, and sent him a picture.
Did you even have a boat ramp yesterday?
No.
Just had an angled seawall?
Yeah, and an angled seawall with a drop-off, yes. And there's but that whole big bar out in the middle of the river was all exposed.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, you could have walked from Ponce de Leon to Alligator Creek yesterday.
Yeah, and not gotten your butt wet.
No, I don't think you got your knees wet. So, anyway, so what's been going on with the shallow water? I got to tell you, sometimes to me, it almost feels like it's easier. Because if there's no water, there's no fish. They got to be in a hole.
Yeah, the hard part's getting to that hole.
That I would agree.
But
no wheels on that boat of yours.
No, huh? And once you get there, yeah, it's usually like shooting trout in the proverbial barrel.
So, anyway, Snooky is her name. Well, she's a big fish, and I caught her just the same. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know what else to do. Okay. Yes, I get it. It's quiet, Frank. Okay. Yeah, okay. There, you're on. The other one's off. We're all back and goody-goody. I got everything. I think I got all the knobs and buttons, right?
Think so.
Okay. So, Happy New Year. Should old acquaintance be forgot? And days of old sad guys. What the heck?
Wow.
Okay. Well, it's our first show of the new year.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, we only waited 9 days to do it. Yes.
Is it?
Been slacking. We've been busy out front. We couldn't both get here. It's the 9th.
I know, but I thought we did one on
Friday. Oh, no. We were going to, and you never did.
Oh, I never did.
You didn't. No, it wasn't. But this one wasn't me. I said, Robert, let's do a show. You said, no.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, it had to be you.
I got big shoulders.
One with Dwayne and one with Kale. I got one with Kale getting ready to load. So I got two with Kale, one with Dwayne, and none with you.
I was in on that one with Dwayne.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I sat in on that one.
All right. Well, this is our second show of the year, and forget everything I just sung.
Well, it was kind of on the, you know.
Yeah, you weren't very involved in it, but no. You were there moral supporting.
I was moral supporting.
You had your pom-poms.
In the background.
Yes. Go, Team Rock. Okay, Peace River, start report. Yay, yay, yay.
Peace River, all right, we can do that.
Well, where else are we going to start?
That's a perfect spot.
I'm glad I picked a perfect spot.
Well, we just got over the full moon and major cold front with a lot of wind. So
all really your teeth and your fangs have rescinded?
No, I got long underwear on. I'm all good.
Yeah. I still have my, werewolf coat of fur on, but other than that,
right?
My fangs have gone back down. So
nice
when the full moon's over. I return to semi-human.
I feel like I'm 20 again on that full moon. I get all the long hair back, and it's not a bad thing. Ooh. Then it all disappears.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see.
Okay, this full moon in the front.
It shuts fishing down a little bit when you have a major cold front come through.
Definitely,
most of the time.
Disruption.
Not always, yes. Yeah, you know, the pressure really, really puts a hurting on the fish for the most part. It's not always a guaranteed. Sometimes the fishing can still be incredible because the fish don't always know our rules. But
now, I have tried to inform them. I have put radio transmitters in the water so that they can listen to the show and understand better what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. They don't listen very well, though.
Well, you know, we just started it. You know. This is our first, second underwater broadcast, so,
Nice. And the other thing, too, that happens out there when these little cold fronts come through, it always amazes me that because we're bundled up all shivering and burr, obviously the fish must be too, so everyone's going, hey, all the crappie are going to bite, the sheep's head are going to bite, it's really cold outside. And that always amazes me that water temperature doesn't cool down as fast as air temperature does.
Yeah, you got to wait a couple days longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a couple to several days longer.
All right, for the fish.
Nice.
I just figured I'd translate it into fish for you.
That was good.
Okay.
Can you do that again?
No.
That one didn't hear what you said. Can you repeat that?
No.
The fishing on the Peace River has been actually not too bad. I mean, the key to all your fishing right now is to move a lot. You know, the fisher know it's winter time, yet the water temperature is a little above normal. So the fish haven't really staged up where they should be, so they're moving around a lot trying to figure things out. But up on the Peace River, you're finding some redfish action, mostly under the bushes and some of the little deeper troughs. A lot of them are on the smaller side. There's been a few legal ones, especially up there around Shell Creek, and I'm hearing of some underneath the docks over there on that Punta Gorda side. Still some juvenile tarpon out in the middle of the channel, a few trout mixed in with them. A lot of guys are hooking some gars. There you go. Perfect. A lot of guys are hooking up gar from the power lines north up to the 761 bridge. Seeing a few bigger tarpon up in there, too. But that's about it. Hey, I can keep a straight face. You're going to roll it.
Really good. Really good.
Once you get closer down to the I-75 bridge, there's guys picking up a few more whiting. A few silver trout, a few speckled trout. Not gangbusters by any stretch, but the main thing is, the guys are really...
Silver trout!
Yeah. The guys that are really trying hard are actually drifting
almost
along. They're drifting along until they hook up into a fish, and then they're stopping and focusing on that little spot for a little bit, and then moving on to the next little spot. Other than that, it's great to go up there to get out of the wind. If you get these fronts that come through, usually you can get up there and hide out of the wind and enjoy some real nice scenery. Just got to be careful of the real shallow water that happens. The good news is the front was quick. It's going to start to get warmer. Today is already, 15 degrees warmer than yesterday?
Oh, man, yesterday was
wind
cold.
Wind is a lot knocked off compared to yesterday. So.
Oh, I had my earmuffs on yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it was chilly. And, one thing I like about our house is if you get on the front porch, it's nice. As long as the sun's shining, it's warm on the front porch.
Right.
But, boy, you step to the left or right off that porch or downstairs, oh, my goodness. As soon as that wind hit you, it was...
It was brisk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
It was amazing. I mean, it reminded me being up north, you'd be out in the middle of this big field and there'd be this massive, you know, all the glaciers, you know, get these big granite boulders and all that stuff. And you, sun side facing the sun, the snow would melt. It'd be all dry and just big old rock face. And you could just lay in the sun on it, the wind coming across your back. And it was kind of what it was yesterday sitting on the porch. But I didn't get to spend a lot of time on the porch. I was cleaning and doing stuff like that. So, but man, was it cold. I don't know how people went out on the water yesterday. I know there was a lot of captains out.
Yeah, there was quite a few people that went out and gave it a shot.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, the fishing's been pretty good around.
Yeah, it's been pretty steady. I mean, they're catching fish, but they are moving a lot. You know, they're spending 15 minutes to a half hour. If they're up in a creek, they're 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then boom, on to the next spot.
Now, up in the Port Charlotte canals, the canal fishing isn't as good as it could be this year.
No, it's been actually, honestly, fair to partly lousy.
Yeah, I mean, really fair to partly lousy in a lot of the canals. Now, back up in the O'Hara, the fishing's been pretty good. East Spring Lake is pretty good, not so much West Spring Lake.
Right.
I mean, it's like one canal's got fish, the next two don't, one does.
Exactly.
It's really, really trippy what's going on. A lot of black drum in the Port Charlotte canals, some nice snook, got a lot of sand bream, catching a few trout here and there.
Yeah, but, a few mangrove snapper. You know, some juvenile tarpon. I mean, there's been kind of the mixed gamut of it, but just...
But it's literally one canal is on fire, and the next two or three are nothing.
Yeah. And even usually this time of year, the mouths of the canals are ate up with just about every fish you want.
Right.
And that's not even happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Very, very strange year for as far as the fish, migration patterns. We've had the cold weather, but not the cold water temps.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's just because the air... gets, like you said, so cold for such a short time and then just bops back into, wow. You know? Yeah,
exactly. And like you said, you know, yesterday out of the wind, nice and warm, very comfortable in the wind, very brisk. And you got that same scenario, you know, these shorelines that are protected and they're out of the wind and they're getting a real nice beating of sun on them. They're still staying warm.
There's a 5-degree variance sometimes within a half a mile in the harbor.
Yeah.
So, actually pretty amazing. How's Mica Cutoff doing? It's got a lot of shade in it. The water should be nice and cool. I heard a lot of redfish in there a few days ago, but I haven't heard much in the last few days.
That was about the last report I got was a few days ago with some redfish in there, a couple legal-sized fish, a couple smaller redfish. The snook have been in there a little bit, but not... Yeah,
I'm not hearing the big snook numbers like I expected to hear this year.
Nope. Not at all.
I really expected the Mica Cutoff to go nuts on snook, but the redfish are there. We got some trout both ends of it, the far north, the far south.
There's some sheep's head underneath there, too, at both entrances. They're not good numbers, but they've been better quality fish, like 15, 18 inchers.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's real nice fish.
If you move around to the Hog Island side out there, there's been a few more trout kind of out on those flats there in that 2 to 4 feet of water range. Few oddball pompano, a lot of small, you know, barely legal cobia, and a few bonnet heads cruising around there.
Now, I'm hearing more and more about bonnet heads out in the harbor because I know they come in with the chilly water. It's exactly opposite effect. We have most sharks. Most sharks are gone, but still decent year. I haven't heard much in the Mica River. What's going on in Eljo Bean?
Eljo Bean's been good. Seems like the most activity has been in the early mornings up until about 10 or 11 o'clock here, regardless of the tide. And then there's been that kind of die-off window between 11 and 3. It seems to slow down for some reason with the guys. And that's kind of across the board. The sheep's head, the trout, the snapper, it's been really unusual.
Yeah.
You know, usually the middle of the day this time of year is great because the water's warmed up, all the everything's active. Right now, you got that couple 3 or 4 hour span in the middle of the day. It's kind of slow. But there are sheep's head, some mangrove snapper, a few redfish. Been a few more silver trout there. A couple guys got into some real nice silver trout just upriver from there.
Right.
Just about where the manatee zone starts. They said they got into quite a few of them. Not real big ones, you know, 12 inches, which is kind of about average, honestly. Been a few whiting there. The nighttime bite's been a little sporadic with a few oddball tarpon and some snook. But nothing jump up and down about.
I'm hearing great reports down the west side of the harbor for numbers of fish. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for quality fish, but for sheer numbers of fish. The west side's had great numbers on it. Less boats, more fish.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and I don't get why more people don't fish that this time of year, because it's out of the wind most of the time.
It's in the teeth of the wind. With a north-northeast wind, that west side of the harbor's, you know, you got any kind of east in there.
But those prefrontal wind, you know, that prefrontal wind, everyone still goes over on that east side, and it's blowing almost west-northwest right over there.
Yeah, but you got a long ways behind that bar, and there's not much room from the sandbar on the west side of the harbor up till you get against the edge of the mangroves. You've only got 100 yards in some place, 200-300 yards in other places. Right. It's not much area. And you get buzzed a little bit more, but, you know, that west side's tough. And there's limited amount of spaces compared to the east side with so many islands and so many shorelines. There's literally, I would say, 8 times the fishing area on the east side of the harbor that there is on the same length of the west side of the harbor.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the west side, you've only got we call it the west wall because it's literally a flat wall.
Right. You have, three major creeks that come out of there, and then a bunch of little dinky ones that you can't even get into.
Right. And now the state is going to succumb to the money one day, and there will be condos over there and everything else. But for right now, it's
not
pristine.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, but they're going to do it all the way around. I mean, the one thing that governs everything in the U.S. is payoffs.
Yeah.
And all they've got to do is pay off the right guy at FWC and the environmental protection. And, you know, it's the great thing about it is it allows us to keep our cash.
Right.
Because if the world went to all electronic debit and credits and all that, and credit cards and all that, there'd be no crooked politicians, because you can't pay a crooked politician with a credit card.
Yeah, you can't bribe them that way.
So, you know, that'd be one great thing about, and it'd make my taxes a lot easier. Everything would just be electronic. Okay,
right.
This is what came in, this is what came out. You don't do any math. But, as long as there's cash, you'll see an end to the beautiful, pristine Charlotte Harbor. I mean, it's a few years down the road, but it's coming.
Right. Hopefully quite a ways.
Well, we've been hearing rumors on the east side. The state's been approached many, many times about buying the buffer zone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a lot of people because that's multi-billion dollars right there.
Oh, absolutely.
So, anyway.
Enough doom and gloom. Let's go back to fish.
Yeah. Enough gloom and doom.
Over there on the west side.
West side of the harbor, a lot of redfish in the creeks. Got a little bit of trout up on top of the bar, some few pompano, and not many reds on top of the bar, but back in from under the mangroves out about 8 feet in that first trough, that ditch that runs along the tree edge. You got nice redfish there. Getting down to Cape Hayes, a lot of bonnet sharks on the bar itself. What else is going on?
A lot of bonnet heads. The bonnet heads have been there. The pompano have been there off and on. There's even been a few incidental flounder there. Hearing a couple mixed reports on those guys. Few snapper. The Atlantic sharp nose. There's been a few of those straggling around, especially on the outside edge there where it drops off going in towards the entrance to Turtle Bay.
Right.
Hearing of a couple oddball Spanish mackerel over there in that trough too. Nothing in killer numbers, it's consistent, but a few that's worth mentioning.
Enough to get that magnificent meal.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got to tell you, everybody always says, I don't need a mackerel. If you catch it that day, put it on ice right away, and then take it home, fillet it, put it on the grill, little butter, I mean, flake, get all the bones, skin, everything off, and put it with butter, a little lemon herb, and McCormick brand lemon herb seasoning. Just a little tiniest bit of that, brown on both sides, and probably the best meal there is. You don't want to eat it the next day or the day after or whatever it's. But and if you've got time to go home, if you know you're going home early and you get time to cook on the grill, that's the fish to catch. If you're not going to cook it that night, catch and release, let it go. Not worth keeping.
Right. Up there in Turtle Bay and Bull Bay both, you've got some scattered sheep's head moving up and down the shorelines. Seems like they're not swimming in packs, but they're in little singles and deuces up underneath the bushes. Some guys are catching some fairly good quality fish, you know, in that 14, 16-inch range. Same way with the redfish as they're working along those bushes. There's an assortment of sizes there. small, typical rat reds with the occasional oversize and in the slot limit size.
Yeah, but
most of your slot limit fish are on that lower end in that like 18 to 21 inch range.
But if you're a charter boat captain or you're a guy and you got three or four people with you who are not good at casting, this is not going to be your buddy back there. Because you got to put that trolling motor on slow, or you got to have somebody push pulling you, and you're constantly casting and retrieving that trolling. Cast the shrimp up underneath there, let it sit for 30 seconds or whatever you can take, and then bring it back in, pitch it in a new spot, and just keep working it, steady working the shoreline. And you're going to catch one or two, one here, two there, one here, two there. You'll have a good day by the end of the day, but you are going to work for it. Right. Now, you get out in the middle, you can just drift for the trout. That's the nice, easy part.
Drifted for the trout out there, yeah, they've been out there pretty consistent, but there's been a couple oddball oversized reds mixed in out there, so some of those guys are having a real good time that are trout fishing. They're getting smoked by a 30-incher. It's not numbers by any stretch, but it's a not a surprising when the guy says he caught one or two.
Now, Kale's even saying that he's upsized his tackle because he usually uses the ultralight when you get in all the trout and stuff. But he's back with a little bit bigger tackle with the customers because there's so many cobia, the oddball redfish, whatever, bigger fish back there on the flats where you're sitting with the trout rod. The rod and reel would handle it if it had enough line. But you get a fish, some of these fish will burn out 100, 130 yards of line before you can turn them. And if you've only got 80, that could be a problem.
Serious problem. So, but that's a terrible problem, I guess.
Yeah, if you got to have a problem, that's the one to have. Not enough line because the fish took it all. Right, so,
exactly.
Going up around the front of Bull Bay, the Pompano still out there in front of Bull Bay?
Pompano have been scattered out there. They've been kind of ghosts. You know, they're showing up and then disappearing, showing back up and disappearing. But it's definitely been a consistent spot there from basically the front entrance or the sandbar right there in front of Turtle all the way over to Devilfish, all out in front of there. There's been a few incidental flounder mixed in with them. Couple guys are catching an oddball redfish, lot of bonnet heads still. I think the bonnet head's like the king of the flats right now. Everywhere you go, you're seeing quite a few of them.
Yeah, and bonnet head is simple shrimp. Toss it out there. Use a bobber or free line it. I don't believe I'd put a sinker on it, but I would either bobber, put it out under a float where it almost drags the bottom. And the other thing is just to cast out, let it free line, let the current drift your shrimp along.
Absolutely.
They'll find it. Yeah. And, you know, this is one case where I would, if you want to target the bonnets, get select or hand-picked size shrimp. Get the bigger stuff because it gives you a little more weight to throw it and a little more shrimp for them to find. They'll eat the regulars. They'll eat the choice, the regulars, you know, and all that. But if you got that little bit bigger shrimp, you're going to improve your odds a little bit with that shark.
Absolutely.
And they will eat shrimp 99 times out of 100 more than anything else. Like any other shark, is shrimp's an okay bait for them, and they do eat a lot of shrimp, but it's at the bottom end of the odds rather than the high end of the odds. They're much more keyed into the fish, where bonnets are just keyed into shrimp.
Absolutely.
But swinging around between Kalapalu and Devilfish on that flat, I've heard a little bit of whitebait showing back up there. Not that you need it, but it's not a bad idea if you're in the area, take a couple minutes, grab a little bit of whitebait, because with the temperature fluctuations the way they are, you're going to one spot and everything's going to eat shrimp. You go to, you know, 50 or 100 feet down the shoreline and it might be a whitebait spot. If you can get a little bit of both right now, great idea.
Right. Just don't get overzealous and take it all, or it'll have the same problem you had last spring.
Well, only take a little bit, because you're probably only going to need a little bit, and chumming's useless right now. Yeah. I mean, you chum, and your fish are full, and you're done. You're not catching anything.
Yeah, they're not gorging themselves this time of year. This time of year, they aren't burning up the energy. The water temperature is low enough where they're not metabolizing it fast enough.
So your best bet is to, if you're going to throw white bait, toss it out free line or however, you know, with your jig head or whatever you're going to do, but put your bait out before you try and chum anything. Don't sit there and think, okay, I'll get them all worked up. All you're going to do is get them full.
Right, exactly.
Now, working our way down that flat, that's what we call the tailing flats. It would be on the east side of the intercoastal and goes from Devilfish all the way on down to Catfish Creek.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that whole tailing flat there area, because it's very shallow. And if you're there, and you've got a strong wind blowing, so there's very few people out there right at daylight, you'll understand why they call it the tailing flats. But you pretty much, in order to see it, you've got to be there before the boats are running, before everybody's out, because if a boat gets 1.5 mile, they all go down.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there, it's a beautiful, calm morning, or you know, and the wind is blowing real hard, keeping the boats down, but not rippling the water much. And all of a sudden, redfish tail after redfish tail start popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
And but you've got until they hear the first boat, and then down, and they're done. Yep. And it's usually right at daybreak. I mean, it's a great place to go watch it. I wouldn't even... it's not about catching them at that point. It's about watching them at that point. Just seeing it being part of the experience and the voyeur part of the fishing. Because if you go to move to chase them and try and catch them, you're going to miss the show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one case. See the show. Pay your dime. Get to see the whole thing. And then once all that, you know, somebody interrupts it, then go out and try and fish.
Right.
Because the show's over. But actually really enjoy the show. If you can get there one morning, go leave hour or two before dark and get over there, anchor up, be sitting on there right as the sun comes up and watch what happens. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
And getting up towards Placida.
Placida's been pretty okay.
That sounds so encouraging.
Well, the thing that I've been hearing about that's been a little strange is some black sea bass. I've been hearing more reports about black sea bass in the last couple weeks in just random spots. Placida, a little bit offshore, a little bit near shore. Nothing in numbers and never in sizes anymore like it used to be, but it seems like this year has been a little bit of a comeback.
We haven't heard of black sea bass in, what, 10, 15, 10 years?
Well over 10 years. I think you're more accurate with the 15.
I mean, when you first started working here, people would catch sea bass, and it wasn't an uncommon catch, but it's never been, okay, I'm going to go out and target sea bass.
Right.
But it was rather common if you were drifting in Boca Raton Pass looking for snapper and grouper to catch some sea bass there and along the intercoastal and
Marker
stuff.
Marker 6 was always a good spot for them just offshore, so was Helens.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of those spots you could at least catch a few.
And now, last 10 years especially, up until 2015, from, you know, 2005 to 2015, literally, I don't remember, maybe a half a dozen caught in 10 years.
Right. You know, maybe. That you hear about.
Maybe.
It's just so unusual anymore. So it's just kind of neat to see a little bit of a comeback on them.
Yeah, now all we got to get is that one that does the shock thing. I can't remember the name of it anymore.
No, I can't either. Yeah. But there's also been some sheep's head there, bonnet heads, obviously. Hearing of a few more bluefish over there, too. Most of them are the smaller guys, you know, the 1-1.5 pounders, but still fun to catch, which is usually a good sign because usually the bluefish kind of show up about the same time as the Spanish mackerel or just before, so the potential is there that we might start seeing a few more Spanish mackerel coming in. There's also been a few trout, oddball snook, oddball redfish, some nice whiting. Not very many numbers, but a
we
little bit better
quality.
We should
remember the name of that fish. Stargazer.
Stargazer.
I mean, we should know that.
We should.
So, anyway, yeah, if you've caught a stargazer along the Gulf Coast of Florida in the last, over the last year even, give us a call down at Bait Shop and let us know about it. It's 941-625-3888. And just say, hey, I caught a stargazer, you know,
if you got any pictures, email them.
Yeah, email me any pictures you have of you with a stargazer. Really curious to find out, you know, if they've just moved or if they're gone or what happened. But
well, and it's one of those fish I think that flies under the radar and doesn't get checked out very often, because I mean there are certain fish around here that just don't get studied, that they write off as being okay, more abundant than what it really is. You know, look at
have a clue.
Look at the guitar fish. I mean, when was the last time you saw one of those?
Years ago, common catch.
Common catch all the way up here to 41 Bridge.
Yeah. The stargazers, the guitar fish, the
lookdowns.
All these things. They were just here all the time, and we haven't seen much of since 95, really.
Right.
I mean, they declined every year until around from 95 all the way through to 2005. They just kept declining numbers. And it could be possible, like the flounder and the sawfish, where the habitat was just ruined, and once the habitat was gone, they just left.
Right.
And they might like that similar habitat. That could be it. And we're just now getting that habitat back.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's a very good possibility.
Yeah, and that to me is the most likely suspect, because there was never enough of them caught to have depleted the numbers, unless they get caught up in the commercial nets, because no one checks up on that.
Right, not enough.
No, there's no checkup on it, because I work the boats, and there's nobody on the boat with you to see what you're throwing back in the water.
Oh, yeah, all they know is bycatch. Yeah, absolutely. They only know what you're bringing back to the dock.
All they know is what you bring back to the dock. They don't know. When we'd be looking for cigar minnows up in the panhandle, and we would throw back in the water 1,500 dead Spanish mackerel.
Right.
And all they knew is how many cigar minnows they bring in. Nobody's ever sitting there saying, well, we just, you know, caught and threw back in the water 1,500 dead mackerel. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. No, it's a cheery show today.
It is.
This is a happy, happy, happy show. And so around Placida, sheephead a little bit, some nice snapper activity, some bonnet sharks, a few assorted black tip or sharp nose. They look like black tips, but there are several different species of them in this area. And a couple of black drum. Snook fishing's okay, not great, but okay. And then as you head up towards Lemon Bay
has been doing a little bit better on the sheep's head. Hearing a lot of good reports underneath all the docks over there and right at the entrances to some of the canals that go over there into the Inglewood area. There's been a few incidental grouper that I've been hearing about, some gags over there off of those docks.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, even though the season's closed, been hearing a few reports of them anyway.
Right.
Out kind of more towards Ski Alley and Stump Pass area, a lot of whiting, a few flounder, few pompano, kind of a mixed little bag out there. You know, once again, so the thing is, move a lot and just work the shorelines as meticulous as you can. Those banana jigs or crazy jigs or pompano jigs, whatever you want to call it, the jig of 27 different names, that seems to be the real good ticket out there right now. I mean, the guys are literally catching trout, Spanish, flounder, pompano, oddball snook. I mean, kind of a mixed bag of them, and it's the pink or the chartreuse have both been working incredibly well out there. As you work out along the beaches going up towards Venice and stuff like that, I'm hearing some pretty good reports at wow, that was interesting.
Well, I'm trying to find happy stuff.
I wasn't sure if that was here or outside. Up there around Sharkies, it's been a little hit or miss, some whiting being cut off the pier, some few silver trout. And then as you work your way over to the jetties have been a little bit more consistent for a few more sheep's head, a lot of mangrove snapper, and the oddball Spanish and bluefish. Nothing really gangbusters, but picking up. It seems like this past week I've had some more positive reports up there.
Well, speaking of positive things, let's sprinkle our magic dust.
Nice. And we'll go offshore.
Is that
pond5.com? What was that?
I have no idea what that was.
Well, the magic dust took us offshore. Or the jingle
there
bells.
There it was.
Perfect.
Woohoo! Yeah, we're going offshore. Yeah.
Okay. A little Latino gnome.
Yes. Oh, God.
All right. Offshore. There's the bottom bite has been incredible. I mean, the grunts, the porgies, the mangrove snapper, lane snapper, that's been unbelievable right now. Especially from Boca Grande heading north. That's been really, really, really doing well. Same way with the red grouper, you know, but the grunts and the snapper and stuff have all been like that 3 to 12 miles out.
Yeah.
The red grouper have been doing really well at like, a couple of guys have done exceptionally well, actually, in about 50 feet of water, but the majority of the guys are doing better at about 20 to 25 out.
Yeah, I'm hearing 20 miles out.
there's been quite a few mixture. There's been a lot of cobia out there, too. Hearing a lot of mixed reports of cobia. Most of them are barely on the legal size to just over legal, but good numbers of them. I guess Mike Myers got into a whole bunch of them the other day from what I was told. You know, out there just messing around on some of the reefs, he saw quite a few cobia and caught a lot of short fish and a couple legal ones. The bonita and some very few Spanish mackerel and very few kings have been out there. Been some sandbar sharks chasing those bonita around a little bit with some really nice big black tips.
How about dogfish?
Very, very few. We don't have as much of a dogfish population as we used to. You know, 40 years ago, there was more dogfish around. Nice.
Yeah, I like that one. Had to get hit it a couple of times. Okay, so anyway, but did you go over Amberjack? Anything going on?
Didn't go over Amberjack yet, but the Amberjack have been doing well at that 25 to 40 mile mark. I guess the Bayeronto had some really nice Amberjack on it about 4 or 5 days ago from what I heard.
Oh, one way to describe that. Yes. Okay.
There you go. And they've been, those Amberjack out there have been a little bit bigger. The Captiva Blue Hole has had some really nice Amberjack on it, like in the 40 and 50 pound range. They've been a little fussy with what they're feeding on, but they're definitely out there. The Mohawk and the Captiva Blue Hole both have also been holding a handful of Yellowtail Snapper in the 2 to 4 pound range. Not a lot of them, but the guys who are snapper fishing are picking up a few.
Well, that was a happy, fantastic melody.
Nice.
Did it make you happier?
Yeah, I'm more relaxed.
Okay, as long as you're more relaxed.
Okay. I feel real more zen-like, I guess.
Okay, enough of that. All right, go away.
That was third grade.
Yes. So, is there, if I was going to go out looking for snappers and stuff, you can hit Novak, Trembley, all the stuff when in 3 to 10 miles out. But mm-hmm. if you're going to look for some bigger grouper and stuff, you really got to hit that 20-mile mark range.
Absolutely.
Dwayne was talking about it the other day, and they were doing 8 to 10 pound grouper out there. Mm-hmm. So, actually, it's quite a bit better once you get out a little bit. Absolutely. I haven't heard anything from that 40-mile range.
I've heard a little bit. You know, there's been some bigger reds out there. Some of the guys are catching some giant gags, of course, because the season's closed. I had one customer that got into some 5 to 7 foot black tips, and he saw some chicken dolphin come by two different times in two different spots. Didn't hook any of them because most people aren't ready for that when that shows up.
Yeah, the gag thing. Okay, yeah, gags are closed in federal waters until about July.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, it's the July 1st to December 2nd is the season. What a ridiculous season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on fishandfranks.com. Go to fishandfranks.com, and at the top of the page you'll see all the little icons and the two boats. Click fishing laws and federal rules in the Gulf, and that'll tell you what's in season, what's not out there. So anyway, but
as I mean, if I had my choice, if it's a beautiful day, I'm going offshore.
Right.
I mean, there's so much activity going on out there right now where personally, and I'm not a big grouper fan. I would rather catch grunts and snappers. They're just much better eating, and I love catching them on that lighter tackle.
Yeah.
But also the chances for me personally being like the shark man, I'm going out and being, right. I'm going to be keeping my eyes out for those big black tips, because this time of year you get those true 6 foot black tips and spinner sharks move in close. And that's fun. Those sharks right there are an absolute blast.
What's up, Terry? No, you don't want to, we're just doing a fishing report. You're welcome to join us. All right.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, we'll be done in a little while then. Sorry. Anything you need me for right now? Okay. Anyway,
as you move in closer to the passes,
yeah,
same thing going on. The snapper, some pompano, some flounder, some sheep's head, kind of a whole mixed gamut out there. A few oddball legal red grouper, but I've heard of very few since the season officially opened.
Now, if you were going to walk along the beach casting, say Minnesota Key or something like that, what would you expect?
Some sheep's head, some flounder, a few pompano, whiting. Oddball redfish, oddball snook still out there lost.
So how far down will that hold through? All the way to Sanibel?
That's actually all the way down to Naples right now.
All the way down to Naples. I'm hearing
some oddball reports all the way up and down the whole coast.
Now, if you haven't done it yet and you've been fishing out here, it's to drive down 41 South, hit McGregor, take McGregor all the way down and catch that go off on Sanibel down there. And that first part of Sanibel is really pretty to fish off of.
Yeah.
It really gives you that tropical feel. You know, you got to pay your $7 or $8 on the toll, But just to go down and experience that tropical feeling of Sanibel just for the day and fish off the beach, this would be a good time to do it. You're likely to catch some fish, have a real nice day.
Right.
And this is one of the times of year, you know, pick that nice, bright, sunny day, even if it's a little chilly, because when the wind's out of the north, you can go off on that side and you'll still be out of the wind. And it'd be a nice way to spend a mildly chilly day in the sun down there in Sanibel.
Absolutely. And this time of year, the water's so beautiful. I mean,
it's
very Bahamas-like.
Yeah, because the water's cool, the air's warm. I mean, I don't often recommend people driving all the way down to Sanibel to do something like that. But this time of year, you get that bright, sunny day, even with the wind out of the north. And you can go there, set up on the beach, and just have a gorgeous day. To me, this is one time when I want to do it. I don't like doing it in the middle of summer. It's too hot. The Gulf is warm, you know. But this time of year, oh, yeah, everything's all set. It's pretty much
close. And the whole ambience of that place is just pretty cool.
But that's what I'm saying. This is now it's worth the drive. Because they're going to take you, when you leave Fish and Frank's, you get an hour and a half before you with traffic and all the stoplights and everything else. You got an hour and a half before you're going to hit Sanibel.
Yeah.
But right now it's worth it. I would do it this time of year.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, Sanibel. There is a couple bait shops right before you get onto the island there. The one burned down, they've closed that up, but there's another one opened up on the left, so you can get bait right before you get on the island. If you don't know if you're going too early or too late, stop by us and get it, because I don't know what time they open or close or how many days a week they're open. But I know there is a bait shop right there. But get an aerator and a little bit of shrimp. We can get you outfitted to go down there, help you with directions. Coming back up, as long as we're in Sanibel, Ponarasa, that whole area right inside of Sanibel.
Yeah, all of Ponarasa and St. James City is doing pretty good. A lot of scattered trout all over on the flats down there. Some scattered redfish of assorted sizes. The docks over there on Ponarasa seem to have been swapped out with the big snook that are usually there.
Right.
They've kind of swapped places with some trout right at the very outside of the dock with a lot of sheep's head mangrove snapper. A couple guys have been catching some big flounder underneath those docks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I've heard of some like 18 and 20 inch fish down there.
That's real nice.
Yeah. I mean, not giant numbers, but definitely quality fish. And that's the guys that are just dragging shrimp along, bouncing them real nice and easy. Not getting in any hurry, just working those dock pilings real thoroughly and meticulous. A couple guys are throwing big pinfish, and that's what they caught the big flounder on. The one guy got four flounder off of two different docks, and they were all on pinfish. He was just working them real slow.
That's great. I've been working on, if you're on fishandfranks.com, I've been working on the boat ramp page on it. And the boat ramp page, you go to where to go fishing maps and then click the one that says boat ramps. And it shows left side is saltwater ramps, the right side is freshwater. And then at the bottom of the page, I've got it listed with an interactive map. And I just have numbers on there. Now, they correlate to the buttons above that. So, like 09, the Placida ramp, you can click the button. But if you come down and look, you're going to see 09 on the big map. You can click that. I actually figured out how to do overlay interactive buttons on the map. So, we're going to try and put more of that stuff up. Big Google image, Google Earth thing of the harbor and where all the boat ramps are located. Easier to see it in overall. That's at the bottom of the Where to go fishing maps, boat ramps button. So anyway, just letting you know, I did get that upgraded. I'm working on more of the stuff. I was just checking it out because that's what I do while I'm doing the show, is I look on the fishandfranks.com for more info.
Absolutely. A lot of good stuff on there too. It's amazing how much information is there. As you're working up down, if you go on the back side of the intercoastal, working your way up towards Matt Lachey, the sheep's head have picked up just a little bit there at Matt Lachey, so of the snapper. Nothing super, super phenomenal, but definitely a lot better than it has been in the last 2 weeks, without a doubt.
Okay.
There's been quite a few smaller redfish at the mouths of the Cape Coral canals, and a whole lot of juvenile tarpon I'm hearing about over there.
Cool.
That's been on the upswing, which has been really good. Some of the mangrove snapper started to move up into their canals. It's mainly been the entrances have been a little bit better down there. Once you get up in there a little ways, it seems to be general consensus with us. It's slow. But it's definitely more steady than it has been.
Two Pines, Jug Creek Shoals.
Jug Creek Shoals. Some of your best fishing right now, honestly, has been right there around the Boquilla Bars and that entire grass flat going over towards Jug Creek. A lot of trout, a lot of mixed in little bluefish, tons and tons of puffers. If you'd like to catch puffers, there's a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures on Facebook of that.
Yeah. There's been some scattered white bait over there, too, so some of the guys are using that a little bit. The bonnet heads are still being the main shark over there, but there's been some Atlantic sharp nose, some black nose, an oddball little black tip, some incidental flounder. That's kind of, personally, if I was going to stay inside, that'd probably be one of my spots that I'd be hitting is that entire grass flat over there. And this time of year, it's so beautiful, and the water is pretty clear. You can see those sand holes really, really good, so I'd be blind casting to all those and just working things real slow and easy while drifting over it. The docks over there around Yuseppa and...
Mondongo, Captiva...
Cabbage Key.
Cabbage Key. Cabbage Key. No, Cayo Costa.
Cayo Costa. All those docks around
Cabbage
there?
Cabbage Key you can't fish by.
Okay.
You're talking about the ones right as you come in through Captiva Pass?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Cayo Costa on the north, Captiva on the south.
Okay, all those docks over there right now have got some nice mangrove snapper underneath them and a few sheep's head. That's about all I've heard down there in that spot. And then working all those flats on Pine Island from Captiva Rocks all the way up to the fish shacks. A lot of scattered trout, some nice redfish underneath some of those mangrove bushes.
I love fishing it down there, but go with the patience and time to go slow all day.
Yeah.
Because it's not like running on the east side in the upper harbor where it's shallow and you're just going to hit bottom some mud or sand. There is a lot of coral down there. Yes. A lot of oysters.
A lot of oyster bars.
Really can go thunk there.
Yeah. Yeah, you've taken me down there. That's some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen, though. I mean, it's just
gorgeous. I love that one island with that big, deep hole at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, and then I don't even know if it's there anymore, but I remember 12 years ago when you took me down there, there was that one mangrove shoreline, and it was like 8 or 10 feet deep, and there was a refrigerator.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's an island that sits kind of behind the fish shacks. Little island sits all by itself, and on the south end of it, it's got this massive hole. And I mean, that hole goes down 15, 20 feet deep.
I mean, yeah, I don't remember. I just remember it was deep and amazed me because it was literally right off the drip edge of those mangroves and just dropped.
And you're literally, your boat's in 12, 18 inches of water, and you're sitting in this heavy grass, very shallow, and all of a sudden here's this sand hole. And I have no idea how it got there, but it's been there as long as I can remember, which is quite a while. And number of years ago, probably close to 20 years ago, somebody threw a refrigerator or something down the bottom of it, and you look down in there and you see the snook will lay up right inside of the refrigerator. It's really weird looking.
Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty cool to see all that.
Yeah, I like that down there. It's just because it's literally like going to the Keys.
Yeah,
because it's beautiful clear water and the grass, and I mean,
and the surprising part is the amount of live sponges that are down there too. You know, because you really don't see those most of the time, except for this time of year.
And everything else down
there. Yeah, the horse conchs are pretty cool.
So,
it's just a cool place to go. If you don't want to catch fish, you just want to see, like you're in an aquarium, just float along there and just watch. It's worthwhile. That spotted eagle ray we saw there was just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. I love it.
You know, it's one of the things I love about Charlotte Harbor. Let's just take the harbor as a whole. I live up off the Peace River, and you live on one of the canals. I live in a canal off the river. But you come out, you're in the old brown water of the river, and then you go down through the harbor, and you've got the sand and the, you know, all the stuff in the upper harbor. And then all of a sudden you pass this line, and you're still in the harbor, but it's literally like you drove 150 miles south, and you're in crystal clear blue waters, and it's gorgeous, and the grass, and this and that, and then... I mean, there's just a little bit of everything. I mean, if you actually came down and you fished every day for 2 weeks, you could be in a different spot all the time.
Absolutely.
It would take years to, half a lifetime to fish all the things just inside of Charlotte Harbor. If you you know, go from the Barrier Island, Sanibel, all the way up around, and, you know, taking it in from as far as Lemon Bay all the way down through Sanibel and up into Port Charlotte. It would take years to fish this area.
Absolutely.
Literally years. Half a lifetime to learn it. You know, yeah. It's amazing. It's huge.
And even then, we're still learning new stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. I still, so much of this area, I don't know well at all. Some of it, I can literally go there blindfolded and back, and, you know, I know where I'm at. And other areas, it's just, it's a lot.
Cool. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's
absolutely
a huge amount of stuff. But anyway, in the middle of the harbor, we have the Cape Hayes Reef and that whole straits coming into, you know, the Boca Straits from Boca Raton Pass all the way over towards Bernstorff. Some small sharks, a little bit of pompano, occasional Spanish mackerel.
A lot of little cobia mixed in out there, some silver trout, and a few bluefish.
Cool. How about coming up by the Alligator Creek Reef?
Kind of the same thing going on there. There's been a few more Spanish mackerel, mangrove snapper, a few more sheep's head. The cobia have been there, a few oddball bluefish. The Goliath grouper started to move back onto it a little bit more so. And then the oddball sharks, you know, kind of a mixed gamut when you run all the way up there from Boca, coming up the whole entire center of the harbor and work your way up towards that reef. It's been pretty consistent, you know, a lot of little tiny cobia with a few legal fish. There has been a few triple tail moving around out there too. I've heard some incidentals on them. Not gangbusters, but worth taking a look at if you're driving by a crab trap buoy or that tripod. I don't even know what that it's like a tide marker or something that's out there just below or just above the Pirate Harbor hole. You know, there's been some triple tail around that along with some silver trout. Then over on the east side from Bernstorff, working your way up that from just south of Bernstorff, that waiting flat there, up to the Bernstorff channel, there's been some trout on the outside edge of the bar in that 3 and 4 feet of water, and some redfish and a few incidental snook up closer to the shoreline.
Sorry about that.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I'm doing a media sync with my phone. I've got a new picture of Robert. He's sitting here in his new Fish and Frank shirt and everything, and I says, you know,
I'm looking kind of dapper, I think.
Very dapper today. So I get a picture of you with all the equipment and the computer and all that kind of stuff here. So
there we go.
I was,
as long as the microphone's blocking my face, we're good.
Yeah, well, that was one of the good parts. You can't see much of your face.
What was that, neighbor Al or whatever? He always had his face behind the fence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the tool guy?
Yeah. Forgot what that show was called, but
Toolman Taylor, Tim the Toolman Taylor. I don't remember the show, but
yeah, I don't remember either.
So,
but anyway, as you're working your way up, the Bernstorff Channel's been a little on the quiet side with the trout. There's been a few there, but they've been moving in and out depending on the day. Along the shoreline, though, there from Bernstorff up to Pirate Harbor, mangrove snapper have kind of moved back in a little bit more. A few incidental redfish, a few snook in the backside of it. The trout are on the outside edge of the bar. One cool thing, and also something to be aware of, there's been a lot of manatees hanging out right there between Pirate Harbor and Bernstorff out on that grass flat. And boy, are they curious. I mean, I've had several customers come in and say they're just sitting there anchored up fishing or drifting, and all of a sudden their boat starts shaking a little bit, and there's a manatee underneath their boat scratching their back.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, you get this creature, and but I guess if you didn't have fingers or a back scratcher stick, that would be...
Yeah, it'd be ideal.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes out for them and just be aware of it and even just enjoy it when you get to see them. It's kind of neat.
Very neat.
As you're going into the Pirate Harbor Channel, there has been a few more trout there on the flats and on the outside edge, but as you work your way in, the trout start to thin out a little bit. Even in the basin, they've thinned out just a little bit in the last few days. But there's been a few more pompano moving through there. A few black drum, some sheep's head have been hanging out right along the edges of the channel, feeding on all those little oyster patches that are all throughout there. I think that's why there's a little better concentration of those sheep's head down there, because of all those oysters.
Right.
And then up inside Pirate Harbor, been a little quiet, a lot of juvenile tarpon moving around in there, but nothing other than those few fish. Working your way up from Pirate Harbor along that whole east side, like Frank was saying earlier, you know, like you were saying, there's so many little islands, cuts, sand holes, everything else. You got hundreds of places of fish there. A lot of little redfish around. Some oversized redfish. Cobia cruising on the bar. A lot of bonnet heads cruising on the bar. There have been some really large stingrays over there too, cruising around along with a whole lot of little stingrays. So if you're a wade fisherman, you got to be super careful over there right now. The trout, both the speckled and the silver trout, have been on the outside of that bar in like 4 to 5 feet of water. Seems to be the better numbers. Not really quality, but definitely bend a rod and have a good time. There has been some exceptionally large ladyfish over there, though. Both on the inside and on top of the bar. They're just scattered all over the place, like 2, 2.5 pounders. Some pretty decent-sized fish.
That's a lot of fun on the right tackle.
Absolutely. It's fun. You know, watch them jump, and the fun part is most of it's catch and release because they jump 3 or 4 times and get off the hook. So it can be really enjoyable that way. Less messy, too, than trying to bring them up into the boat. As you venture up in a little bit closer towards Alligator Creek and into Alligator Creek, there's been quite a few more jacks moving around, a few oddball bluefish, a few trout, not a lot, but definitely a few trout where you're going to catch them. A few snook up inside there as you go up in towards Burnt Store Isles. There's been some better snook up in there and a few redfish and sheep's head along all those mangroves, especially that little cut that takes you right into Burnt Store Isles where they, the old railroad trestle used to cut across right there. What is that? I don't even know what to call that little channel that cuts into Burnt Store Isles.
Where the locks used to be.
The locks used to be there.
Yeah,
there
where you had the locks that went into Burnt Store Isles for coming down Alligator Creek. You come in, you go through the curves, it's all deep water, then you hit the slow zone, you go past the marina and all that, and hug that left side. Alligator Creek does something that no other creek down here does, and that is the left side is deep. The right side is shallow, and it doesn't matter which way the bends go. Usually, if you've got a bend off to the left, you hug the right-hand side because that's where the deep water is. Not true in Alligator Creek. Just stay on the left side and run that up, and you'll see a big opening on your right-hand side. You get in there about a half a mile, and doesn't take you that long when you're idling up in there, and you'll see this great big opening, and there's wooden bumpers, or at least there used to be. I don't know what it is now.
They're still there.
And you can go in through there. And right at the locks, there's usually good populations from sheephead, mangrove snappers, odd assorted other fish. But getting back inside there, when the weather gets cold, that area just lights up with snook and trout and all kinds of other stuff. Last winter, it was actually unbelievable in there.
Absolutely. And there's usually some good mangrove snapper right around that entrance, too. Because it's such a funnel point, you get a lot of strong moving water. So just on the outside or the inside of it, you can kind of stage up and get into some fairly okay mangrove snapper bite. Going up into Poacher's Cut and going over into the PGI canals, it's been hit or miss because they're still finishing up dredging over there at Ponce de Leon. Kale had a pretty good theory earlier that was kind of interesting, that he thinks a lot of those fish are actually doing better on an incoming tide, especially there at Ponce, because they're catching all those little worms and crabs and shrimp that are being displaced. So some of the sheep's head and the black drum and snook and all that stuff are kind of focused on feeding a little bit more so on that incoming tide as it flushes them in.
Right.
Because obviously you got all the mangroves and their structure there, so that's going to hold your better predatory fish. And it kind of made sense what he was saying. Up inside the PGI, there's a lot of little juvenile tarpon. Been some pretty good snook on a lot of the lights at night. Mangrove snapper bite's been fair to good. Black drum have been wishy-washy. It's like one canal's got some black drum in it, and next canal has no black drum
in it. Yeah, the PGI Fishing Club, their fish of the month was the black drum, and they only had a few turned in. There just was not many of them there. You can say hi, Captain Kale.
I'm just trying to be quiet, not interrupt.
Oh, you can interrupt. We're just doing a fishing report. Anything you want to add to the fishing report?
Well, we'll let him finish up because I'm going to have to leave here in a couple minutes to the dock.
Okay, well, we're about wrapped up anyway. You're at PGI, right?
Yeah.
We did the middle of the harbor. We did the reefs. We did pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
You've got to go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Ah, Mr. You're Windsor. Defective?
Dr. Windsor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so you're going to go get realigned.
Realigned.
Yes. So, yeah, Barb just said you've got to go.
Yeah, my second wife.
Yeah, office wife.
Office wife.
Okay. So, anyway, I don't know what else there is to add.
It's supposed to get beautiful over the Sunday's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, this weekend is going to be a great time to go fishing. Sunday's going to be the better of the 2 days. Plan on Saturday. Use Sunday for your backup plan. But March 14th, the tent sale is getting to be crazy. We have the owners of Flambeau coming.
Nice.
And so if you need a new tackle box, you can come down, and Flambeau's going to have an extraordinary display of tackle boxes. You can meet the people who make the tackle boxes, the owners, the company. The factory guys are going to be here. We're going to get great deals on tackle boxes. It's going to be a great time to get a new tackle box, and that's at the tent sale. Gary Loomis, I mean, we've got a new display of edge rods coming. We've got a bunch more. I've had five requests. Are you going to have the edge? Gary Loomis coming again this year, and Gary Loomis is going to be here. Flambeau, Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, is coming back. Mark Nichols.
Mark Nichols of DOA.
We're trying to get Mark pinned down to make sure he's coming. Penn is going to be here, obviously. I mean, it's become such a major event. Penn's got more specials this year than ever. I mean, picture buying a brand new Penn rod, not seconds or retips, 10 to 50% off. They've got rods they're going to be selling for 50% off. Other rods are 10% and 15 and 20 and 30 and all this, but they've got some rods that are going to be 50% off. This is going to be the craziest day we've ever seen. And this is not, you know, a tackle show where you're going to come and get free hats and all this other kind of stuff. If that's what you're interested, don't come. This is for you to come down, get the best information you've ever had about what you're buying, get a good deal on it, get to talk to the factory people, same as I get to do. When I go to the show, I want to talk to the owner of the company, the CEO, the national sales manager.
The guys that are making it?
The guys who control what we fish with. And you get to talk to them, meet the people at the factories. It's going to give you an idea of who and why I deal with the companies I deal with. You're going to meet these people, and they're some of the most extraordinarily nice, I mean, pleasant people you've ever possibly imagined. And keep that in mind. This is not a complaint whiny session. This is a session for real intelligent questions. That's what these guys are expecting, and they've come to expect this. You guys are beyond belief. The biggest number one thing I always get asked is, where do you find these people? They ask good questions. They want to buy product. They want to know what they're buying, make sure it's the right thing. They ask for a little bit of a deal on it, and I mean, it is amazing, and you guys are the amazing ones, and I can't thank you enough. You make me look great. I mean,
absolutely.
You guys are fantastic. And I kind of add the other stuff for the newbies, and you think, you know, if you don't need a rod or reel, don't worry about it. Every lure company gets its own casting tank. You're going to be able to see these factories working the plugs you fish with, get the tips, the secret information on it. Plus, they all run specials on their stuff.
Absolutely.
The owner of Mirror Lure is not coming here not to sell tackle. You know what I mean? Eric is going to be here. He's bringing his daughter. I mean, this is going to be a cool year. And please come down and check it out. Robert's got to go to the doctor. Doc Windsor's waiting on him. Doc Windsor's kind of our fix-all guy. If you need help, Doc Windsor at Access Chiropractic. He's right up in Murdoch, up there behind the car wash, behind the touch of glass thing there. So anyway, you got to get going. I should get back on the floor and go to work.
There you go.
So thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you in a few days with a new fishing report. Hopefully there'll be no more interruptions, and we're trying to get more on the water stuff, but between the weather and everything else, still a little iffy, but we're working on getting those on the water reports from you and some updates with FWC. So Fishing Frank, Radio Fishing, Robert in the chair across from me. Catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.